Welcome to the What Matters Most podcast, presented by First United Bank and Trust. That's my bank. Visit us today at mybank.com.
Hello and welcome to What Matters Most, a podcast all about finances, community, savings, and security for you, your family, and your business. This podcast is brought to you by the helpful folks at my bank, First United Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Eric Nutter, and in today's episode, What Matters Most is our monthly economic update for the month of April. And for this helpful discussion, I am thankful to be joined once again remotely today by Sean McCreary, Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Good, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining me as always and looking forward to the discussion. So the markets have been a little wild over the last couple of months, so I'm sure you've got some stuff to tell us about, positives, negatives, and conclusions like normal.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely do.
Excellent. All right. Well, why don't you, you want to start us off with the positives?
Yeah. And I think, again, overall, it's been definitely a rough first quarter overall, not only for stocks, but also for fixed income bond holders as rates have risen at a fairly quick pace, not typical of what you're used to seeing in bond land, as they say. So definitely a lot of things going on, a lot to talk about. But again, we are starting with the positives, as we do, at least for the economy. I think that the positives do outweigh the negatives. We don't, our base case does not see a recession here in the U.S. in 2022. We still think we'll have positive growth. Many of the things to do with the continued recovery from the pandemic, that reopening phase, we still think there's plenty of consumer demand and a little more normalizing demand versus what we've seen over the last couple of years. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But first off, what we typically start talking about is the jobs market. Overall, we still continue to see positive things in the job market, a very tight labor market. But the most recent month of March, U.S. added 431,000 jobs in March, below expectations of 490,000, but still a very positive number, pushing unemployment rate to a new post-pandemic low at 3.6%. And the participation rate actually did edge up to a new cycle high of 62.4%, but still below where we were pre-pandemic there at the beginning of 2020 on the participation rate. So we still think we have a little ways to go there. As for initial jobless claims, we actually set a number that's the lowest we've seen since 1968 at 166,000 for the week ended April 2nd. 4-week moving average is 170,000. So very, very good numbers to see in initial jobless claims, very tight labor market. And then finally, job openings, labor turnover survey that we've talked about before, JOLTS survey, as many people call it, rose to 11.27 million open jobs in February, basically meaning that there is nearly two open jobs for every unemployed worker here in the United States as of right now. And the quits rate, which also is a signal of a strong labor market. And again, this is people leaving their jobs voluntarily for a better opportunity, better job, better paying, or overall better job, rose to 4.4 million workers. That's not a high, but if it's over that 4 million level, is a signal of a strong number. So good things overall in the labor market. Next thing, again, what we've talked about before, the Institute of Supply Management, or ISM, Manufacturing and Service Indices, they both maintained expansion territory in the month of March and both continued to report exceptional growth levels, which, again, is that 55% level on this diffusion index, where, again, 50% is showing expansion, below 50 is showing contraction, and if you're above 55%, you're showing exceptional growth. So manufacturing index did fall 57.1% in March, down from 58.6% in February. And we're starting to see a little bit of a trend here. of a downward slope, but still an excellent number for sure above that 55% level. A lot of those numbers that we look at, new orders, production, backlog of orders, new export orders, all fell, but are still at pretty healthy levels, most well above 50 and some even above that 55% level. And then strong demand, some of the commentary that we saw is strong demand continues, but supply chain challenges remain, and prices are on the rise daily is one of the other things we're saying is we're starting to see some inflation impact for sure in these numbers. But the and showing that normalized demand is what I was talking about earlier. The service index actually rose to 58.3% in March from 56.5% in February. Production, new orders, employment, backlog of orders, new export orders all rose and are firmly in expansion territory. And 17 of the 18 industries reported growth in March, which is a very strong number when you have all basically all industries reporting growth. So that normalized demand, more service spending going on by the consumer rather than good spending, and what's more typical of the U.S. consumer. There's typically more spending on services, and we've seen that here recently. We're just starting to kind of get into earnings season here for the first quarter earnings, and we've seen some commentary from things like airlines saying that demand is very extremely strong, and they're upping their estimates for the remainder of the year. So that normalized demand is what we're seeing and what we expect to see over the remainder of the year. Now for earnings, first quarter earnings season, like I said, did recently kick off. Expectations for earnings are for them to grow by approximately 6% and revenues to grow by right around 10%. And thus far, again, it's just the beginning of the 20 companies to report thus far. 70% have reported earnings above expectations and 80% have reported revenue above expectations. Both of those numbers are above long-term averages. So at least a good start. We'll see if that continues, but definitely an important earnings season, and especially we'll see what if companies change any of their estimates for the remainder of the year, as there definitely is a lot going on right now. And then finally, the final revision for fourth quarter of 2021 GDP showed U.S. economy expanded at a revised 6.9% annual rate. And just looking at the first quarter of 2022, the GDP now forecast from the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta is forecasting at this time 1.1% growth for the first quarter, which actually is up from basically flat just a few weeks ago. So hopefully we'll get that up even a little bit further as we think demand is fairly strong right now.
Nice. All right, so a lot of good stuff.
Right, a lot of good stuff, but there's definitely starting to be some more headwinds that have risen here recently. That's for sure. There's definitely a few more negatives, and I think the positive versus negative is probably one of the closest it's been for a little while. So
right.
So it's definitely been an interesting quarter, that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to the negatives and talk to us a little bit about those.
Yeah, and obviously there's been one main headline that we'll talk about here in a second that basically all news has been focused on. But for the markets, I think one of the biggest thing that the markets have really focused on has been the monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Open Market Committee has definitely had a much more hawkish tone. And what I mean by that is they're starting to put in place some restrictive monetary policy in hopes they can bring down inflation and tame inflation and somewhat slow down the economy, but still keep it growing. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. And they definitely don't have the best batting average if you look back in history. But the Fed has sketched an aggressive tightening agenda for 2022 and 2023. Investors, as of now, expect interest rate hikes at every meeting in 2022. At least a few economists, and actually probably more than a few now, expect the committee to hike that rate by 50 basis points at several of the meetings, if not all of the meetings, the remainder of this year. Now, typically, if we look back at most recent rate hiking cycles, the typical the Fed typically moves by 25 basis point increments. It's that's just something they've gotten used, gotten the market used to recently. But if you're looking back in history, 50 or 100 basis points hikes are not that all that uncommon. If you look back at the rate hiking cycles we've been through. And then the markets have definitely reacted to this. We've seen not only the interest rates rising pretty hefty level so far this year, and actually because of rates going higher and therefore the bonds you own going now, fixed income has actually just came through its worst first quarter since back in the early 80s. So it's definitely been a headwind. But the good thing is we now have some higher rates that we can invest new money or cash that has kind of been either held in shorter maturity fixed income assets at higher rates now. So some good along with the bad there. But again, the worry is that the Fed goes too far. They make a policy mistake and put the economy into a recession. So we're hopeful that they can kind of pull off what they call as a soft landing, is tame inflation, bring down inflation while slowing down the economy, but not put it into a recession and just put it on a slower growth trajectory. But only time will tell, and we'll see how everything plays out. And then the next thing is that the item that really everything news has been focused on, headline risk has been focused on is geopolitical risks, really casting a cloud over markets and economy. The war in Ukraine, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we think is far from over. Peace talks have been floated, but as of this time, few believe they really will amount to anything, especially after some of the devastating footage of Kiev, the Kiev suburbs here recently. Resulting increase in Russian sanctions from the Western world further pushes this conflict, we think, past the point of no return. And we've seen commodities spike because of this conflict, as Russia and Ukraine have a very large global share of not only oil and natural gas, but also wheat and corn as well, and a lot of other metals in things, ammonia and other things that go into fertilizers. So have added another level of inflationary issues that economies and markets are dealing with at this point. We think eventually we can hopefully get past this. Don't know what that would look like at this time. But the hope is that there eventually will be peace talks that can take place. But definitely has created a lot of volatility in markets, not only in stock markets, but also bond markets and commodity markets as well. So it's definitely been interesting and very unfortunate for those citizens of Ukraine, that's for sure. And on the back of that, with the inflation is definitely one of the larger risks, and continues to rise on the number of risks that we see. The Fed most recent CPI, consumer price inflation report, showed that even before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, consumer prices were rising at their fastest pace in 40 years. Headline CPI. And this is for February, rose 0.8% month over month and 7.9% year over year, while core CPI for February rose about 0.5% month over month and 6.4% year over year. And actually, I believe we just got a recent revision of this for March. headline CPI rose at an even higher number, I believe over 8.5, maybe 8.6%. But the core CPI actually did kind of roll over somewhat. So this is one of the things, and I talked with our folks in the Trust Department yesterday about it, is kind of what I'm watching for on that core CPI number on a month-over-month basis. So what we want to see kind of going forward, and as we're starting to see some tougher comparisons, where this April timeframe was really when inflation started to really take off last year. So we have some higher comparisons from last year. So the March numbers showed core CPI on a month-over-month basis rose by 0.3%. And that 0.3 or 0.4% correlates to around a 3 to 4% year over year inflation number. And that's what we want to keep seeing on these inflation prints, 3.3 to 4.4% month over month or lower. And that's what we're hoping to see over the next few months and through really the end of the year. As we think, hopefully inflation can start to roll over, demand can soften a little bit, and hopefully not too much. But that'll be kind of what we think the Fed will kind of be paying attention to, as see if their tighter policy is working or not. So definitely something we want to see come under control. But we're definitely preparing our portfolios for higher levels of inflation higher levels of inflation going forward, as that is definitely a top risk that we see.
Right.
And then finally, the final thing is kind of the path of the COVID-19 virus. And then of course, for the last 2 years, this has kind of been the most important driver for growth in 2020, but still important, but we don't think it is the most important driver. Daily deaths and infections continue to be on a downward trajectory, but still large regional impacts. One of the main ones that we're watching being in China, they're currently having one of their largest outbreaks. It has had since the beginning of the pandemic, and given its zero COVID policy, the harm and worries we have here is supply chains globally have really been healing over the last few months, but we think we might be seeing a plateau for that for at least the next month or two, just because of China's zero COVID policy, where they're shutting down large ports and factories that might hurt supply chains, at least for the next few weeks as they try to get this under control. But definitely something to watch and how we'll be monitoring kind of going forward.
Yeah. And from my point of view, it's very, it's optimistic, I think, even though this is in the negatives, it's optimistic that after over two years of doing this with you, I think our first episode together, COVID was the first thing we talked about. And then, it's been a topic ever since. And this is the first time where it was, 15 minutes into the podcast before COVID was mentioned. That's optimism for me.
Yep.
Happy to hear.
And I think the biggest thing is with the vaccines and some of the other medicines that once you get it can make those that have it have to deal with it a little bit less or a little bit easier to deal with. It's just we've learned to live with it. There might be some other outbreaks, but I think we won't see the restrictions. We won't see the stopping of the economy like we did at the beginning when we didn't know how to deal with it.
Right,
so that's the positive thing.
Exactly. All right, Sean. So what's our conclusions based on everything you've shared with our listeners?
Yep, definitely a lot going on in the first quarter, and unfortunately, markets have definitely reacted to this with definitely a negative quarter for returns, both again fixed income and equity side. And of course, the war in Ukraine, inflation, an active Fed and supply chain crisis has caused the focus to shift away from the pandemic, which was kind of topic number one for the past 2 years, like you mentioned, and unfortunately, neither the public nor investors have really had time to celebrate the receding disease as prices everywhere have shot higher. War in Europe has overall induced collective unease. But as asset markets recalibrate to the evolving economic environment, we expect continued volatility, of course, and we have reduced risk levels in our portfolios. We've definitely brought equities to a more neutral to slightly underweight level in most portfolios, as we think the risks are higher. But we do think that later in 2022, if earnings can, and we do still expect earnings growth for 2022, if we can continue to see that and these forward guidance from earnings, this earnings season maintains at least, we think there is potential for better returns as uncertainty clears. And like I mentioned earlier, I know the rates have definitely shot higher. I know we've seen mortgage rates shoot over 5% for the first time in a little over a decade here recently. And we expect many rate hikes by the Fed and their hope to tame inflation. But a lot of this and a lot of the news and a lot of things that we've recently talked about has really already been built into the market. And so we've started to see some higher rates on bonds that we haven't seen in quite some time. And so we think we are starting to nibble a little bit on some longer duration fixed income, basically that has yields that are much more appropriate for than what we've seen over the last 2 years. So we've kind of been cautious and short duration for in our portfolios for well over 2 years because of the extremely low rates and easy policy that the Fed has put into place. But we've seen some better opportunity for new cash and investments that are coming due and investments that have been in very low yielding objectives here over the last 2 years. And we're starting to be able to put those assets to work at higher rates that hopefully will return better profits for clients into the future. So some negatives over the last quarter for some of those investors, but we think there's a little bit of sunshine on the horizon.
Perfect. All right, Sean, any final thoughts before we log off here?
I think one of the biggest things is again, if you don't have a plan when markets get rough like this, for when markets get rough like this, is please get a plan and come talk to a professional that does this on an everyday basis. Don't allow these negative market movements and high volatility to throw you off your plan for your financial goals. Come talk to us at First United or talk to your professional that can help you deal with this and put some ease into your mind to help you sleep a little bit better. That's for sure.
Good advice. Sean, thanks again for joining me today and providing such helpful insights. If any of our listeners have a question, you mentioned calling First United. If they want to learn more, what's the best way they can get the support they need?
Again, I think, and I mentioned this before, I think the best way is going on to our website, mybank.com, and clicking on the wealth link there at the top of the screen. And on there, you'll be able to see the folks that are in your area, or at least numbers and ways to contact First United to help come to talk to somebody.
Excellent. Sean McCreary, Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Thanks again.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of our show. You can always find more episodes by visiting mybank.com/podcast or find us on your favorite podcast app. You can also leave feedback, ask questions, or request a topic for us to discuss by sending an email to podcast@mybank.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time with more helpful content. But until then, we wish you the best in focusing on what matters most to you.
First United, my bank for life.
This document is a general communication being provided for informational purposes only. It is educational in nature and not designed to be taken as advice or a recommendation for any specific investment product, strategy, plan, feature, or other purpose in any jurisdiction, nor is it a commitment from First United Bank and Trust or any of its subsidiaries to participate in any of the transactions mentioned herein. Any examples are generic, hypothetical, and for illustration purposes only. This material does not contain sufficient information to support an investment decision and should not be relied upon in evaluating the merits of investing in any securities or products. In addition, users should make independent assessment of the legal, regulatory, credit, and accounting implications and determine together with their own professional advisors if any investment mentioned herein is believed to be suitable to their personal goals. Investors should ensure that they obtain all available relevant information before making any investment. Any forecasts, figures, opinions, or investment techniques and strategies set out are for information purposes only, based on certain assumptions and current market conditions, and are subject to change without prior notice. All information presented herein is considered to be accurate at the time of production, but no warranty of accuracy is given, and no liability in respect of any error or omission is accepted. It should be noted that investment involves risks. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate in accordance with market conditions and taxation agreements, and investors may not get back the full amount invested. Both past performance and yields are not reliable indicators of current and future results.